Well, hello everyone, and how are you all doing? Are you doing good? I hope you are. Happy October. It's here already. How time flies, as the old saying goes. But I really hope that you're all doing well. And I know the summer is truly over for those of us who are not living in countries like Australia or Uruguay or Fiji. But I really, really love autumn. I really do. Or fall, depending where you live. But I really love autumn. I love watching the seasons change. And right now in West Cork, it's cooled down a lot. So people are lighting their fires. And mainly they burn turf or peat. And you can smell it around the countryside. And it's such a beautiful smell. It really is. It's a really homely smell. A natural smell as well. If that's a thing. Is that a thing? I think it's a thing. It is a thing now. But yeah, in autumn I love seeing the colours change and the leaves that fall from the non-evergreen trees. Can you imagine that? If we had like trees that were like humans and the deciduous trees were at war with the evergreen trees. It's like, look at you. You are naked in the winter. You should be ashamed of yourself. And then, but look at you. You are too much of a wimp to face a winter naked like me. Okay, that's it. I have had enough of your mockery. This is the beginning of a 2,000-year-old war. Oh my God, what am I talking about? Anyway, I had a really nice summer. Now, the weather was a bit of a mixed bag. We had like, I suppose, probably 3 or 4 weeks of very, very hot weather for Ireland. But then a truckload of rain, waterfalls of rain. And we're still in a very rainy patch at the moment. September was unbelievable. So, actually, I think it's just falling outside again. But I had a nice summer. And I did manage to get in some little travels here and there. And I did the Ring of Kerry a few times. And I found some really interesting places that I'm going to share with you really soon. So hold on to your seats. But on my travels, I got into some crazy situations as usual. You know me and my situations. Mr. Bramble. But one of my funniest ones, I think, or one of my, it was kind of funny and there was a bit of suffering involved as well in it. And I think that those always make for the most interesting stories. So like one day I was out and about traveling around in my car. Well, not my car, but we'll get into that. And I ended up traveling by Kenmare. So the thing was, like I mentioned there, my own car was giving me trouble. So I had to hand it into the mechanic to get it fixed. But my insurance company were kind enough to give me a replacement while I was waiting. So I had been out all day and the gas was running low. And as I was driving by Kenmare, driving by one of the roads, I decided to pull into a gas station, or a petrol station, as it's called here. Again, depending on where you're from. And the first thing that I noticed, which was really strange, because this was a really hot day as well, really hot, it was really, really hot. I saw a very famous local politician and his aide sitting on a bench and they were eating ice creams. Now, that's not too unusual to see that, right? But there was a song playing in the background, like coming out of the gas station, and it was an old tune, I've Got the Power. And these guys look so out of place, like, you know, they're so rural Ireland. So there they are, right? And they're bopping along to, I've Got the Power. Bopping their heads up and down and eating the ice cream. And I was just looking at them and I was like, what is going on? And it's not like that they're egotistical, because politics is kind of different in Ireland, you know, to most places in the world. I think we kind of don't take it that serious and we take the piss over politicians big time as well. But What I'm saying is, like, they weren't like, I've got the power doing it in an egotistical way at all. It was more innocently, like, childlike. And it was just like, I was looking, saying, what is going on? Because they're well known, they're very famous people. They're actually the Healy Rays, if you want to look them up. And I was kind of transfixed because it was so odd. But because of the distraction, right, it led me to put petrol into the car that I had been given by the insurance company. Now, my own car is a diesel car, and so that is not good, not good at all. And I put 30 euros in, and as I was walking back into the store, before I even paid, I realized my error, and I was like, oh my God. But you know what? You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. I was like, oh no. So I approached the lady at the counter. And I said to her, and I was like, oh God. I said, and just after getting the fuel confused, and she was like, oh, sorry, love. Like I said before, everyone called you love or darling here. So when you get here, you'll be called out a lot. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And she's like, okay, relax, relax. Because she saw I was a little bit stressed because it's not my car. And you know, you can really screw up the engine. The one thing that I hadn't done yet was start the engine, which is a very good thing. And before I could even finish my story, she says, don't worry, don't worry, it's okay. I'll call the manager. We've tools, we can fix this. And I was like, oh, I had a sigh of relief, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So I went back outside to the car, and I was waiting by it. But about 5 to 10 minutes later, she came back out and said that she was mistaken and they didn't have the tools. And so I'd have to call a mechanic and get the car towed, which would have been a nightmare because it was a long distance, like, you know. Long distance, and the only thing I could do was like push the car out of the way, the pump, you know, get it out of the way so other cars could fill up and all that. And that's what I did. Now, I have a little bit of experience with cars because some of my family are mechanics, and so I suggested to the lady that I could siphon the petrol out with a hose. You know, you just open the lid, you stick a hose into the gas tank, and you suck it up until it pours out, and you drain it, and then you refill the car with the proper fuel, and then hopefully the car is fine. But my only problem was I didn't have a hose or a container. But the lady said that there was a hardware store. It was like 3 kilometers away, and they would have the hose that I needed and the container that I needed. I forget how many liters now I had to drain out, but it was a lot. And I was like, okay. So I had to walk to the hardware store, and it was boiling hot. And I was, you know, it takes a bit to get me going, but I was kind of anxious. I was going, oh God, what am I have to do? And you know, it's just a nightmare situation, but it's spilt milk, you know what I mean? So I said, I'll try my best. And I went there and I got the equipment. Now I opened the gas lid on the side and I stuck the hose right down in and start to sucking like Willie Nelson on a bong. And I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't feeling the gas come up, and I was dreading it as well because I know that when you do that, sometimes the gas can just like fly up and go into your mouth. And I was like, oh my God, it'd been the worst mouthwash ever. It would just be disgusting. So no mouthful came, but I did feel kind of like lightheaded, and I think a little high as well because obviously there's fumes still in the car, and I was like, this is not good, you know. And yeah, so I was just in the horrors. I was in the horrors, and I made about 20 attempts. But then I noticed something. I noticed that the hose wasn't reaching the tank, so there was some kind of, like, I surmised that there was some kind of like safety mechanism in place that you couldn't do that in case your car was, you know, in case the gas was stolen from your car. And I was absolutely dejected. And I'd been traveling all day as well, so I was kind of thirsty and I was hungry and I was like, oh, you know, when things are going wrong. And I was like, oh God. And just as I was about to like call the tow truck, the lady from the store ran out and asked me to come with her. And she had found a company who had a mobile truck that could come out and siphon the gas on site. And I was was like, yes, this is the dream situation. Otherwise, your car is gone for, I don't know, maybe a day, and it was getting late as well. So I probably wouldn't have seen it till the next day, and it wasn't my car. Would I get in trouble with the insurance company? All that's gone through my head. That's like two cars gone. I was like, oh my God. So she said anyway that she had some that would come out on site, and I said, this is good. You know, things change. I was like, girl, things change, man. Listen to your own advice. So I spotted, oh lads, I spotted a vegan donut, right? And it looks so good on the shelf. And I was like, oh my God. And then there's a drink here. I don't know if it's in America or the country. It's probably in Britain, all right? And it's Oasis. It's an orange drink. And it's so nice. And so I bought those. And I brought them out to Karen. I said, I sit on the wall and I'll just eat those and I'll hang on for the guy. And as I did, I spotted this guy standing there by the car, and he asked me if I needed help, and I said fine. So I opened the car and I put the donut and the drink on the dash, and he said, like, let's do this, let's get to work. Now this guy was in his 60s, but he looked strong as an ox, and he was covered in tats as well, you know, tattoos. He was kind of a cagey looking dude. You know, you see some cagey looking people around West Cork, you know. Yeah, he just had a look about him. He was nice, but he had a look about him like he wasn't like dangerous looking around, but he looked like a fella that had lived a life, you know, one of these people that has like I don't know, it was some kind of charisma about him. So he did the same thing as me at first. He tried to wriggle the hose down into the tank, and he was really going at it, and he failed as well, you know, after probably 30 or 40 tries trying to get it in and trying to suck it out, and it wasn't happening. But then he told me, and he kind of whispered it as well. He said there was a place underneath the back seat where you could drain the fuel from the tank in this particular model of car. Now, like, how he knows this, I don't know. So he starts playing the seat up, and it took a bit of time to get the clips off, and lo and behold, he was right. There's this kind of like a circular, what would I call it? It's like a flange or something, and you can turn that and then stick the hose in and siphon the gas out. But the only problem was it was absolutely jammed, jammed. So he was trying to open that, and I tried, he tried. Like, the man looked stronger than me, you know. I'd have fairly strong arms, but like, this guy was wiry, like, he looked really wiry, and he was putting everything into it. Meanwhile, his wife was standing there and she was getting kind of agitated, she wanted to leave. So we weren't getting anywhere, and it was probably like after about 45 minutes, I was back to square one, and I thanked him, and he went off. But I was still a little suspicious of you know, how he knew where the thing was and all that. But then again, like, you know, when you're in the countryside, when you're that far out in Ireland, you come into bandit territory as well. So they know things you don't know. And yeah, so I was travelling all day, and it was actually getting hotter. It was like probably 6:30 at night, and it was getting hotter and hotter, and I was getting burned and all that. And so I walked to a wall just to sit there for a while. I was tired. And then I saw the mobile siphon machine pull up. The machine is on this little truck. And I'm like, yes, hallelujah. And this guy gets out. Now, this guy looks friendly, all right? But yeah, he has a mullet, like, you know what I mean? He's friendly looking now. But he's a big dude as well, like a football player, you know? Big, strapping dude, like. And he comes off to me and he's speaking in the thickest Kerry accent, and I'm trying to like decipher what he's trying to tell me, and I can kind of follow, because sometimes, like, even though I've been up here so long, you can meet people and you just don't know what they're saying. You have to slow them down, and they have different words for stuff and all that. So I tell him the story anyway, and he's like, "Ah, sure, relax, lad. There's no bother, lad. Relax, lad. I'll take care of it. Take it easy down. Everything'll be grand in the end, bye." It was like, fuck it. So he takes this metal hose, out of the machine. It's kind of, you know, like a fire engine hose, and it's coming out, and he's trying to wriggle it into the same part of the car. He opens the side, the clip in the side, and he's putting it in, the little door on the side, and he's wriggling. But they have this, it's like a magnetic, I think it's like a magnetic touch thing, that when it touches the car will open, and it will let the steel tube going down. It's just a safety precaution. So he started the machine, and I just went back and I sat in the wall, and it was then I thought, fuck me doing it. And I had this inclination, I had this kind of like, you know, vision that he was going to eat my donut. I was like, no, the day can't get any worse if he eats my fucking donut. Because there's something to dash, and he's looking over and he's smiling, and I'm thinking, does he think I left this donut here for a gift for him? Like, because, like, you know, and next thing he did, he started unwrapping the donut, and he starts biting into it, and I'm like, oh my God, it was like losing my arm. It was like, oh my God, I could feel the life coming out of my body, you know what I mean? And he's like eating and he's smiling and he's like, nom, 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 nom. And then he opens the bottle of cold fizzy, as we call it. And he just, bottle of Oasis Orange, and he just like, whoosh, takes a sup, and it's like half gone. And I'm like, fucking hell. Oh my God, he's just taking the last bit of hope that I had, you know? I was like, oh God, please. And he was like, it better work after all of this. It just better work. And so I'm sitting on the wall, and every now and again I go over and check in with him, and there's cream all over his lips and all that jazz. But after about 20 minutes, he drained it, and I was like, thank you. And he said, this should be fine. Oh, it should be fine. You might have a bit of trouble for a while, but it should be fine. It should be grand. And off he drove, and that was it. So I managed to drive off anyway, and so... every, say, like 10 minutes, I would cut out, and I was going over one of the passes. I had to pass over a mountain pass, and the journey should have taken me probably like an hour, and it took me 4, and the car kept conking all the way, and I was like, oh my God almighty, it was dark going over the hills, until finally I got home, and the juice, I was going to call it, that's what we call it here. So the fuel had run down, and I managed to get to another gas station and fill it up with the correct juice. And yeah, so the car was fine, and I returned it, and I was waiting for complaints, like, you know, the car is conking, and I was like, oh, but no, it was fine. And he actually taught me as well that the way it was mixed would probably do better for the engine in the end. If it was the opposite way around, I was in big trouble, you know. So yeah, it was just one of those days, and it was just hilarious, like, from the politician bopping to I've got the power, and then to what is happening, it's like, oh God, it only happens to me. And I'm out on a journey, just, you know, trying to find places to make videos, and yeah, just make videos and see where can I make the next vlog and all that kind of jazz. And oh, so it was a kind of a waste of a day, but it was fun as well. But you may have noticed at the start I was playing and I have a funny story about that. I was in Killarney about 5 weeks ago, and I don't know how many of you have been to Killarney, but it is a really, really good town. There's lots of crack there. Not crack, no, as I always say, not that type of crack. Don't be thinking it's that type of crack. It's the C-R-I-C crack, the Irish crack atmosphere. So there's lots of atmosphere there all the time. You know, you have people from all over the world there, and it's a very friendly, welcoming place. And like, you have people outside drinking coffees, you have people drinking beers, you have sing-alongs in pubs all over the place during the day. And I went into one place in particular because I heard some trad music, and the guy that was singing, no, he was very, very good. And some of the trad stuff was very, very good as well. Now, I'm not too much into the Rebel songs. I don't know how many of you know much about the Rebel songs, but they're not my thing. But I do like some of the more poetical Irish songs. The Dubliners would have done a lot of those, and they would probably be my favorite band. So I heard this music anyway coming from the bar, and I went in for a coke, and I sat there and I was listening to it, and it was jam packed. Tourists, like, they were out dancing, and it is brilliant to see people enjoying that music. And you could see people, like, you know, from Germany, from France, and they're just stunned at the atmosphere and the friendliness, and it's just very jovial, and people are just, it's just really good fun. But I got a bit bored of it because, as I said, it's not the, you know, to an Irish person, just to a lot of Irish people, it's not, it's kind of like, you know, we've seen it so many times, we've heard it so many times. So I decided to leave, and I was walking around and taking in the vibes and all that. And then I heard this coming again, like what I said. And so I'm like, Clarny, this early, it can't be, can it? And it's like, what's going on there? So I pop my head in and I look at the clientele, and people in there are from like 18 to 80, right? And this is what's going on. Psycho killer, kiss, kiss, say, fa fa fa. The pub is just bopping up and down, and they're making this, you know, like the psycho knife gesture. And I'm like, what the, like, only in Ireland, right, can you come from traditional music, and they were playing some lovely ballads in there as well, and you come into Talking Heads, Psycho Killer. You have people from all over the world, all ages, and they're just singing the song out loud, and it's absolutely hilarious, like. And I came out going, what the hell? And the thing about music, with songs like that, you know, it's a dark, dark song, you know, and people are turning with this knife motion to each other, and it's just a dark song. And I really like songs like that fool people, you know. Another song that does it is Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks. And if you read the lyrics of the song, you'll see what I mean. But the song is so upbeat. Dun, 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 dun. And I've been in places where I've seen people dancing to that song, like, it's like, you know, dun, 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 dun. But when you read the lyrics, it's not a happy song at all. You know, I think a lot of musicians notice that people kind of pick up on the tune rather than the lyrics they're singing. And it's a bit of a twinkle in the eye thing, but yeah. But it was just so fun. Like, that one was fun out to see it. Like, it was brilliant. But yeah. So those are some of the stories from this summer, and I did accumulate a lot, and I'll have more for you soon. Or will I'll tell you actually two more. They're kind of short ones, so I won't be keeping you too long. One of the things that happened anyway is I took my mother to the doctor. She's struggling with neuropathy, and she just tells everyone she meets, like, I mean, it doesn't matter who it is, they'll get told the story about it. And it was brought on by diabetes. So anyway, she meets an old friend who is who has diabetes as well. But this guy has lost both of his feet, and my mom starts telling him and starts kind of moaning about the neuropathy. And she's like, you know, oh, it's so hard to walk. You know, I can walk, but it's like pins and needles in my feet. And the guy replies with, oh, fuck, I couldn't handle that. No, don't give me that now. And my mom is like, I know it's awful. I wouldn't wish it on you. And so there I am, lads, right? This is the thing, like, I'm looking at this guy who has no feet because of diabetes, right? And he can't walk. And he's taking pity on my mother, who's struggling to walk a little bit. And I'm looking at the two of them, like, going back and forth, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? No, it's dark humour, you know. But I said it to them to kill the dark humour. I said, like, you've no feet, and you're complaining about pins and needles in your feet, and wishing, like, saying, I hope you never get it to the guy with no feet. And he's looking at me, and she looks at me, and the two of them just start breaking out laughing, like, they just bust out laughing. And I'm saying to myself, oh my God, you couldn't make this stuff up. You just couldn't make it up. Like, you wouldn't see it in a sitcom, you know? And another thing that happened that, it's another one of these ones, right? So I called off to an old friend, and you know, he's struggling a bit at the moment. And so I asked him, I was talking with him about what's going on in his life and all that, and I could see that he had no money and stuff like that. So I asked him, I mean, would I order him some food? And he said, no, he declined. And I said, okay, that's fine, I'm just asking, just in case, you know. So I went back and I was speaking to my father, and it was about like 15 minutes later, he called to me. And he said, look, to be honest with you, he said, I wouldn't mind if you ordered me a pizza, right? I was noticing something funny about him. And I said, yeah, fine, no problem. And then he went, I goes, where are your teeth? Like, and he was like, my teeth? He's kind of talking this, and I was, yeah, because he has false teeth. And then he taught me the weirdest story I ever heard, right? So him and his friends are having a couple of drinks, right? And one of them is a Man United supporter, and the other is a Liverpool supporter. So the two of them get into, these are football clubs anyway, for people that are not in England and Europe. I know there's a lot of people in America know a lot about English soccer as well, but it's hugely popular in Ireland. And so they can be like savage rivalry there. So the two boys start arguing, right? And they're like really going at it, and they're like, fuck you, Man United, fuck you, Liverpool. And so his friend reached into his mouth and took his teeth, and he wouldn't return them. And I'm like, what the fuck? I go, he took your teeth. And he goes, yeah. And he's like, fucking Egypt, bye. Fucking Egypt took my teeth, bye. Won't come back to me, bye. I can't. I don't know whether to laugh or what. And he starts laughing. He goes, oh, fuck him anyway. So I says, what do you want me to do, man? Do you want me to put the pizza into a blender or what? Like, and he's like, no, sure, I'll text him there in a minute and I'll see, does he want some? He's a hungry fucker, so he'll come over and he'll drop the tea back. It's like, God almighty. I said, you are some langer. And he starts busting out laughing. And I'm only there like a day, and these two things happen. And I'm like, I'm saying to myself, like, you know, if you were a stand-up comedian and if you were living around there, you know, permanently, you'd have material till you drop dead. Like, cause it's true. Like, this is happening. So he's inside the house. He's arguing over two football teams. And your man takes his teeth. His friend takes his teeth. This is a few days. And he puts them into his pocket and he won't give them back until he apologizes. He's not apologizing. Then he asked me to, you know, well, I asked him, and then he asked me to get the pizza for him. Why didn't he say something else? Like, you know, why didn't he change his mind? So he's probably trying to bribe the teeth back off his friend. Oh yeah, so that's some of the madness. And yeah, so that's some of the madness for you lads. That's some of the adventures this summer. And you know, going back to the COVID times when I was finding it very hard to ramble on about things, because you're basically stuck in all the time. Do you know, who do you meet, who can you talk to and all that? And it was like, you know, it was dry, it was a kind of very dry period for someone with my kind of brain anyway. And now it's finally, well, it ended a while back, I know, here. And yeah, so the stories are starting to come back big time. I actually suffered with, I don't know what happened, like, to let you go with this. I actually suffered with something. I was telling you that I was around people and we were at a party and everyone there got COVID, bar me. And people were like really sick for a week and all that, really sick for it. Like, and I escaped it, or so I thought. So, like, it was about a week into it then. I started getting really, really bad fever. Nothing else, no headaches, smelling my nose, no. I had my taste buds were perfect. I had energy. I had everything. I wasn't fatigued. Nothing. Just absolutely sweating bullets. Like, so I'd walk 5 meters and I would just be pumping sweat. Just sweat, sweat, sweat. I don't know. It was a weird one. But what it did do is it cut loads of water weight off my body, which was it was kind of interesting because I'm training very hard as well, you know, for the last it's like 4 months I've changed my training completely into more of functional fitness, and I've been kind of toning up and getting more lean and that. And then when that thing happened, I don't know what it was. I don't know, is it some form mutation of the thing or whatever, or was it just the way my body was fighting it? And I lost, I'd say it was probably about 8 or 9 pounds of water in probably 3 or 4 days, which was frightening because I was just drinking water, basically drinking water stuck in the one position. Did you ever see like a puppy or a kitty or whatever, and they'll see if it's too sunny, they'll move to the shade, and that's the way I was. It was just like, even though I wasn't fatigued, even though I had no brain fog, nothing like that, no other symptoms. It was just heat, like my body was just burning up. Like, so that was my brush with that. But I don't know. I really don't know. I did, like, in the end, I think it was 6 PCR tests, and they came out negative. I did 4 at the start, and they were negative. But I did isolate as well. Because I said, like, you know what, there's no point. If I had it, I wasn't going to pass it on to someone. Just, you know, I mean, who wants it? Like, I mean, even if I had the flu, I'm not going to go and mingle with people because who wants the flu? The flu is shitty. We have to admit it. Like, the flu is shitty. And COVID is a bit more weird because it's just a weird disease. Like, I mean, I've heard some weird stories off people that I really, really know well. And telling me things like that, it's just a strange one. So anyway, yeah, I isolated for 5 days and it was fine. And then, like, while everyone else was getting better, Gail gets the heat, the heat. Ooh, it was a weird time. And then happened to coincide with like a heat wave here, which was even worse. So just basically drinking water, couldn't really eat that much. Drinking water and losing water all day long. So that was that story. It's another part of my summer adventures. So yeah. So anyway, I'm gonna love ye and leave ye. And I hope you enjoy this ramble. It's a bit rusty with my rambling today. I'll have to get into it a bit more. And I have some nice stuff coming up. And October is always a good time. And right through to the Christmas, and looking forward to doing stuff around that holiday season as well. And I'm full of energy and full of life. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. And I hope you're all doing well, as I said. And keep strong and keep lovely, like I know you are. And when you come to Killarney, if you hear.